asking me. They're saying Martin Zender, because that's my name. What is the word of the day? And I tell them the word of the day is rapidity. Rapidity is the word of the day. Say it two times fast. Rapidity, rapidity, and things are going to happen at a rapid rate once they begin happening in these events of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender here. As you're listening to this, it's the day after Election Day, but unfortunately, as I'm recording it, it is Election Day. I forgot how these things work. I'm recording a day ahead of time, so I'm recording this at 7:20 a.m. on Tuesday, so I cannot tell you anything about the election, which is probably frustrating to you, because in your world, as you're watching this video, the election is over. Potentially over. Who knows? It may not actually be over. A lot of crazy things could happen. But the next time you hear from me, I will be commenting on the election, believe you me. But in the meantime, rapidity is the word of the day. Now, I had told you about two videos I made that will be extremely helpful for you, but I neglected to know what they were called or where they were, even though I made them. Look up, go to YouTube and type in as a search term, Martin Zender. That's me, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. Martin Zender, The Gift of Ignorance. That's the name of the show that talks about the gift of ignorance. How wonderful it is that we don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. Believe me, that's vital. Unless you really want to know the day you're destined to die. Of course, I don't believe we're going to die. I believe we're the generation that's not going to see death. Paul is so plain about this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Next, look up the video, The Coming Era of Satisfaction. The Coming Era of Satisfaction. Type in my name and The Coming Era of Satisfaction. This is the video in which I comfort you concerning those things which are heaped up. Like, remember, the sins of Babylon are heaped up. They're all paid at one time. In the meantime, God ignores it when people flip him the bird, cuss him out, don't believe in him, spit in his face, teach eternal torment, which is worse than all of the above. I'd rather you flip God the bird than teach eternal torment. I'd rather you call him names. I have called him many names. Than teach eternal torment. It's the ultimate insult. Or I believe in the Trinity, which denies the death and resurrection of Christ. Christ died for his God, for a great purpose, to remove sin from the world. And yet there are people who teach that he didn't really die. That's horrible. Horrible. It undoes the greatest glories of the resurrection. Yeah, Jesus' body died, they say. But he, Jesus himself, went to heaven for 3 days and looked at his watch continuously to see when it was time to re-inhabit his body. If that were the case, then all the signs you see at Easter time, he is risen. He is risen. It's all a farce and a fake, because how is he risen? They don't admit that he died. They say his body died. He didn't die. So it's a hypocrisy to say he is risen. He's not risen if he doesn't die. What they should say, if they were consistent, but consistency is not a hallmark of the Christian religion, maybe I'm the first one to tell you this, they should say, his body is risen, his body is risen, because he is not risen. Come on, be consistent. I know you can't do it. I thought I would ask anyway. Now, the rapidity, the word of the day is rapidity, by which Babylon will be rebuilt. I'm going to read excerpts from A.E. Knox, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, and you're going to like this. You're going to like this. This is from page 478 of the book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A.E. Knox. That happens to be also the title of this book that John wrote from the island of Patmos back there in the year 70-something A.D. Nobody knows when it was written. And nobody cares, because it doesn't matter. There is already intense rivalry between the great cities of the world to gain commercial supremacy. Wow. Again, written in the 1930s, of course there's an intense rivalry to gain commercial supremacy. How does anyone do that? It's great to have access to a major seaport. And we're talking about Babylon, and I'm comparing, in case you don't know what this is all about, I'm comparing Babylon to Los Angeles, because Mr. Knock compares Babylon to Los Angeles, and I think he makes a very, very, very interesting analogy here between Babylon and Los Angeles. I haven't done Elmer Fudd in a long time, but there's something very, very interesting going on around here. And in the Christian religion, there was something very screwy going on. There were a bunch of hypocrites. All right, here we go. All realized the necessity of having access to the open sea. Even cities far inland. This is the problem people have with Babylon. I'm going to be reading about the destruction of Babylon and about those in the ships and the seafarers. Even though it says they are afar off, they are beholding the smoke of Babylon, and they are mourning and grieving and beating their breasts. Ow, that would hurt. And mourning the demise of Babylon. How can this be when Babylon is not a seaport city? This has caused many to make wild guesses that, well, Babylon is really New York City. Babylon is Los Angeles. Babylon is some other city other than Babylon. Allow me to continue. Even cities far inland are planning to cut a way for ocean commerce to their doors. They cut away. They dredge. They open the waterways. We have the Suez Canal. We have the Panama Canal. People are cutting through land in order to access. But really, Babylon doesn't have to do that because it has rivers that access to the Persian Gulf. The Persian Gulf would be the nearest sea to Babylon. And I remind you that in, I believe, the first Gulf War, we were lobbing missiles from battleships in the Persian Gulf into Iraq, which is modern day Iraq is the home of ancient Babylon, you see. Also the cradle of humanity, also the site of the Garden of Eden. This is the Fertile Crescent. This is Mesopotamia. This is where humanity started. Yeah. Not in Africa. Forget Louis Leakey. Forget Jane Goodall and all these monkey stories about evolution, where they think the cradle of civilization was. The funny thing about evolution is they still haven't found the missing link. Ouch. Chicago is trying to connect with the Gulf of Mexico by way of the Mississippi. Trying to connect. It is connected. And with the Atlantic Ocean through the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence. Of course, there's a series of locks in New York, the Erie Canal, that link these cities of the East with the Atlantic Ocean. The St. Lawrence Seaway. What is that? It's a seaway. It's a way to the sea. And all major cities want to cut away to the sea. And it's only like 600 miles between Babylon and the sea. That's not that far by modern day standards. Ancient days, that's a long way. But as the world is shrinking and as technology is increasing, it's nothing. It's very, very simple to cut away to the Persian Gulf. Okay, thank you, Elmer. Now, indeed, almost all great ports are inland or artificial. Many millions have been spent, and many more will be used to convert the open roadstead of San Pedro into the modern harbor of Los Angeles. Mr. Nock lived in Los Angeles. He did the majority of his work in East Los Angeles. I was there. I visited his home. And you can see the towers of LA from there. It's on a hill, Boyle's Hill, it's called. It's a Latino neighborhood. It's a decent neighborhood. I like it. I was there. I took some photos. Anyway, though situated on the fringes of Western civilization and separated by a vast ocean from the Orient, and notwithstanding there are much better natural harbors to the north and south, the artificial basins have contributed largely to the creation of one of the great cities of the world, where once was little more than a desert. He is speaking here of Los Angeles. Oh, but before I get to LA, I want to tell you a little bit about the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers. These were the great rivers of Babylon, of Mesopotamia. And they're still there, which is the cool thing. Let me tell you a little bit about the Euphrates River. From the Caucasus Mountains of Armenia, it flows southwesterly across east central Turkey, then generally southeast through Syria and Iraq, ending in the waters of the Persian Gulf. It joins with the Tigris in southern Iraq, and from that juncture continues on as the Shat el Arab becomes a different sea because it joins, just like all these different tributaries join in the central United States to join the Mississippi River, which then flows in its muddy way toward the Gulf of Mexico. So the Tigris and the Euphrates become Shat al-Arab. Overall, it's 2,235 miles in length. For those of you in Canada, that would be 3,596 kilometers. and is certainly the longest river in the Middle East. Historically important in ancient history, the once great city of Babylon stood on its banks. Here's the question now, based on what I read from A.E. Knox's book. Why do you think that the Euphrates River was historically important in ancient history? Well, of course, because it joined Babylon with the Persian Gulf, and this is where all the trade came in. This is where the commerce came in. It's simple. Shipping routes. That's just easy. Now, the Tigris River. Rising in the mountains of southern Turkey, the Tigris flows southeast through Iraq, where in the southern part of that country, it merges with the Euphrates to become the Shat al-Arab. That's how I prefer to pronounce it. Arab. I don't know how you pronounce this. Shat al-Arab. Which then flows to the Persian Gulf. The river has numerous small tributaries running from its eastern bank and is 1,180 miles, or for my brethren in Holland, in the Netherlands, I have many friends there. To my friends in, do Australians measure by kilometers or miles? I'm sorry for those of you in Australia. I'm not sure. For those of you, my friends in South America, watching this show, by the dozens. That's 1,899 miles. That's the length of the Tigris River. And I can show you a map here, but it's kind of a hassle to turn my camera around. Search Iraq map, and you will see the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers joining to become the Shat al-Arab, which goes to the Persian Gulf, which itself links to the Arabian Sea. I'm looking at it right here. There are waterways, and again, Babylon is only, the site of ancient Babylon is only 600 miles from that point. Now let's go to Los Angeles, shall we? The suddenness with which this has come about, what's this? Okay, let me go back. The artificial basins have contributed largely to the creation of one of the great cities of the world, speaking of Los Angeles, where once was little more than a desert. The suddenness, and here's my point, rapidity, right? The suddenness with which this has come about may help us to visualize the rapid rise of Babylon. When I first arrived in Los Angeles, Mr. A.E. Knock speaking, not much more than four decades ago, it was a sleepy Mexican village of 12,000 people. Can you picture Los Angeles as, quote, a sleepy Mexican village of 12,000 people? And I believe this was the early 1900s. The first decade of the 1900s when Mr. Knock moved to Los Angeles. 1/4 the population of present-day Babylon, which would have been Mr. Knock's day, writing this in the 30s. It has increased more than 100-fold. Each year has added an average of more than 3 times its former population. And I dare say, without looking at the graphics or the population graphs, that this has continued. The rapidity, there's the word I love. See, I didn't invent this word, and neither did Mr. Knock. It's just a great word to have in your vocabulary. The rapidity with which a modern metropolis may emerge once it is established as a commercial and financial center is one of the marvels of our modern life. I'm going to read that sentence again, hopefully this time flawlessly, because I believe it's important. The rapidity with which a modern metropolis may emerge once it is established as a commercial and financial center is one of the marvels of our modern life, because of, again, the technology involved in linking major cities with major oceans. I feel safe in saying, writes Mr. Knock, that if Babylon should not become the focus of money and trade, it would never rise from the dust again. So again, once you have something that's the focus of money and trade, once you see that money can be made, then I'm telling you, people put everything they have into the rise, the building of that city. And in this case, we're talking about brick and mortar. We're talking about steel. We're talking about skyscrapers. Where there's a will, there's a way. And where there's money, there's a will. So follow it. Money, a will, a way. And from that point on, nothing's going to stop it. When people want something to happen, they will make it happen quickly. It's like, how did this happen so quickly? Where there's a will, there's a way, and where there's money to be made, there is a will. It's as simple as that. I believe one of the other sayings here is follow the money. Follow the money. I see my time is running out here, but maybe I can squeak this in. No one will choose it as the political capital of the world. In other words, nobody's going to just sit and look at a map and randomly say, oh, there's a great spot. But its commercial possibilities are unlimited, for it is at the crossroads of continental commerce. Not just local commerce, continental commerce. In the U.S., we look at our seaports. But, you know, we're so Americocentric that we don't see the big picture of the world. And we don't look at the fact that Jerusalem is the geographic center of the earth, the geographic center. In a stupid little analogy here, I look at, where's the best place to have a conference in the United States? I think Indianapolis is. Indianapolis, the motto of that city is the crossroads of America. So what better place than the crossroads? But again, I'm Americocentric. But if I look at the world, I see that Jerusalem and Babylon, which is nearby, is the crossroads of the world, of the globe. So it's the center of activity of global commerce. And of course, that's the way we have to think these days, because everything is growing. Everything is being considered, I should say, now from a global perspective. In many ways, the city named for Our Lady, the Queen of the Angels. What a joke. Our Lady, the Queen of the Angels. What a misnomer for L.A. Now shortened to Los Angeles, may serve as an example of what Babylon will be. I'm going to stop there for today. I'm going to pick up with this tomorrow. Of course, the first thing I'll do for you tomorrow is I'll analyze the election. Depending on who wins, I will have a different analysis. I mean, my analysis is the same. I know what I think is going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. Of course, I'm sitting here on Tuesday. You're watching me on Wednesday. But tomorrow, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.